We bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a privilege for me to stand before you today. Because it is God's will. We simply find peace and acceptance when there are things that you cannot change. And maybe you noticed my wife today. We brought a wheelchair along for her. But did you know that there are times at home when she gets out of the wheelchair and I get in it and she pushes me around? And you're likely thinking you're not serious. But I am serious. And this is how it works. For this message, I had a real hard time, you know, deciding what to preach. And I was like, you know, I said something to her, you know, I just don't know if this is going to happen this time. I just don't know what to preach. And I struggle with it, you know. What should I preach today? You know, what does God want me to do? And you know what she said? She said, oh, there's no doubt in my mind. God always supplies your needs. He always has. He always will. Do you think I was in the wheelchair and she was pushing me around? I think so. You might see that lady back there physically in a wheelchair, but I'll tell you on the inside, there's a part of her that's not in a wheelchair. And whenever we know that God is going to supply, even though there's times we have questions, you know, is he going to? Yes, he will. I'd like to turn to Romans in chapter 16 for a title for the message. Romans chapter 16 in verse 19, he says, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The title for the message today is Wise and Simple. Wise and simple. What does simple mean? There are times the Bible would say that a simple person just doesn't get it. There are times that I feel simple. Have you had times when somebody says something? It could be a riddle or it could be whatever. And you know, when something is said and everybody laughs, just like they get it, but you can't understand it. You just didn't get it. And then somebody has to explain to you, you know, what it means. And then it becomes very simple. Have you had those times? It seemed like you just weren't getting it and everybody else was. And you felt pretty simple. I think there's times God wants us to feel that way for a reason. He says in verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. In other words, the doctrine that ye have learned is simple. The definition for simple means sincere. Not complicated. No duplicity. In other words, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, you talk about a person that is complicated, is one who is double-minded. You never know what he's going to say. You never know where he stands, because there's two sides and he's jumping back and forth trying to be both sides. You just don't never know where he's going to come out. It's double-minded is to mean simple. Now, simple does have two meanings. There are the simple ones that Proverbs talks about when things are very obvious spiritually and they just don't get it. And they walk right into sin. The Bible says that. Things that are not complex, they're not complicated. And do you know that God, we have a simple God. We have a God who is sincere, and we have a God who is simple, and he believes in putting things simple. Have you ever thought of the Ten Commandments when God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? Now, what would the devil say to that? Would the devil put it this way? It would be better if you would have no other gods before God. It would be better. Or maybe if it would say, you would be more blessed if you don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. God said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." The devil would say, "You'll be more blessed if you don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And the reason I say that is because the day and age we're living in, the devil wants to distract us from what the Word of God really says, and he has to present something else that looks good or seems right. But what he does, he takes you away from the absolutes that God has and puts it in a light that it would be better. Or suppose God, God said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And he says, "Thou shalt not do any work." Well, what if he would have said that you will be more prosperous spiritually if you don't work on the Lord's day? Well, we all want to be prosperous spiritually, sure. He said, "Honor father and mother." Is that simple enough? Honor father and mother. But what if he would have said, "You will have a good relationship with your parents if you honor them"? God said, "Thou shalt not steal." He didn't say, "You might have a better life if you don't steal." Suppose God would come across like that. And it made me think of that when Chester Weaver told us the other two Sundays ago that, if you think God is just whatever you want to do, just suit yourself. You ask God a certain thing. Well, just whatever. And he said, that is the view that children get from God if the parents are that way. Just make up your own mind. He said, "Thou shalt not kill." He did not say, "You may live longer if you don't kill." He said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." He did not say, "I would like it if you would always tell the truth." He said, "Thou shalt not covet." He did not say, I would prefer if you would be satisfied with what you've got. He did not say that. He said, "Thou shalt not covet." Now, something that parents are confronted with in raising children. And you won't have as much this problem when your children are young. But when your children become older, you are confronted with something. Because if you always say, thou shalt not, all the way until they're adults, they just don't do it because you told them not to. But you want them to make that decision for themselves. That in their heart, that's the way they feel and that's what they do. You don't want children that are zombies who just do what you say. I mean, you can't get them ready for life unless you also, at times, let them make the decision. Give them guidance always when they ask for advice, and sometimes when they don't ask for advice, you still give them that advice. The thing that is so hard on our young generation today is when you have parents that are wishy-washy and the children really don't know where the parents stand. Because things are not simple. Things become complicated for that child when parents are not simple. And I remember when I was confronted with this very question of when do you just put your foot down and say no to children who have some age to them and you desperately want them to make a decision that you know is after God's heart. I was confronted with this when my oldest son tried to convince me, did his best to try to convince me that if Jesus Christ were here today, he would be driving a Grand Prix. And you know why he tried to convince me that. Is that simple enough? He wanted to drive a Grand Prix. Well, I asked him a question. What kind of car do you think Jesus Christ would be driving if he were here today? A Grand Prix. That's when I ended up saying no. And now today he would agree with me. And I think he would thank me for saying no. Because there are times that young people do not look at things correctly. Now, there are times that I know that my children looked at something correctly and I did not. We have the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all ways of truth if you have the meekness and humbleness that a father and a mother should have. And that meekness and humbleness will grab onto God's word and hold on for dear life. Are we able to see God in the decisions that we make? And I'm sure you're familiar with the scripture where the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now, what do you think it is that helped Isaiah see God? Isn't that something that we desperately need in this day and age when things can become so complicated? We need to see God and we want to know, what does God want for me in this? And children, are you listening? Please listen to me now. Do you want to see God in your life? Do you want to be able to see what God wants you to do? Do you want that? The answer is found further down in Isaiah 6. Where he said this in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips. It is because that for Isaiah, the reason that he could see God is because he had a true picture of himself without God. And I just read this morning in my devotional book that our ability to be able to see God depends on our character. If our character is not in accordance with what God is asking of us, we can't see Him. So, and then furthermore, when a need was expressed, when God let it be known that there's a need here, Isaiah just humbly said, "Here am I, send me. I'm willing to go." So it's that attitude. "Woe is me, I am undone without you, God." Well, no wonder you see God. And children, please listen to me. Young people, listen to this. If you have that humble spirit, that meek spirit, that spirit of knowing that you are undone, if I have not received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and for what He means to you, how are you going to see God? Because your character has to be in accordance with God. And then you can see Him. And that takes obedience. That takes obedience. So children, you will not go wrong if you make up your mind now that I will obey my parents. I want to submit to the church. Above all, whatever the Word of God says, I will do it. Here, some time ago, I was listening to a message from Jeff Shreve. And there's a young lady that came to him and said, "I'm going to go to Cancun with my boyfriend." What did Jeff say? "Well, that's wonderful. I hope you enjoy yourself." No, he did not. Jeff looked at her and said, "That is sin. That is wrong." "Well, why do you say that? The Bible says it is wrong. For you to go down there and shack up with your boyfriend is wrong. It's sinful." And she said, "Well, Pastor, wake up. We're living in the 80s. Jeff said, "I don't care which day and age we're living in. The Bible says it's wrong, and it is wrong." That's simple enough. The Bible says to flee fornication, the lust of the flesh. Flee. Don't try to make yourself believe in some way. This is just the way I'm made, and God made it beautiful, and I can indulge. Don't lie to yourself like that. We have a good God. He is really looking out for us. And life has changed. We know that. Life has greatly changed, even from back when I was growing up. The time when I was 15 years old and I couldn't get along with my dad. So I went to Liberty, Kentucky to work for a while. And I learned some things. I learned how things can be done in a more simple manner without so many modern conveniences. And that was good for me. It really was. We were used to scraping out the holding pen with a tractor and a blade, get it done fast. No, not there. I used a scoop shovel and put it in a wheelbarrow and hauled it out. And here's some time ago, we used to have, when I was young growing up, before we had some of the modern conveniences, we had a freestall barn, and it was 40 feet wide and 60 feet long, and we had free-range loafing, and the manure was up to 3 feet deep with straw and stuff. Jonathan knows all about that, I'm sure. How did we clean it out? We cleaned it out with hand forks. It took a while, but we got it done. And that taught me some valuable lessons. But now we can just jump on a machine and get the job done real quick. But is life better? Is life really better? Just yesterday I was talking to Paul Hamilton. And he was working on his truck, his semi-truck. And he told me, he said, I prefer the old trucks. That truck right here has 14 sensors on it. 14 sensors. He said, do you know how many sensors that the new trucks have? 278. If I heard correctly. 278 sensors. Children, what is the first thing you do when you open a door and a room is totally dark? What do you do? Anyone? What do you do? Turn on the lights. That's exactly right. Turn on the light. Oh, now they've come up with another gizmo. Your cell phone controls all that. As you walk through the house, and if it's after a certain, well, when something in the room senses that it's too dark, it will automatically send a signal to your cell phone. And when you open the door and walk in, the light comes on. And when you leave, it turns off. Oh, such a wonderful electricity-saving device. And you think, you know, how uncomplicated to just walk into a room and you don't have to worry about lights anymore. They just come on when you want them to come on. And it can be programmed, you know, and all this and that. Is that really what we want? I'm not here to say, but I know that what the Word of God says. It says to not be soon angry. And I'll just confess to you that lately I have had a problem with anger. Just things that kind of soon aggravate me. And I've had to ask myself the question, what is going on that when things don't go right, you know, I feel pushed for time and things don't go right, and I have a feeling of anger coming within myself. What is wrong? And I believe I must conclude that something that is playing into this is modern conveniences. That when it is so easy and things are made easier, then when they don't work, it aggravates us quicker than if you would actually have to do the work. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. And I'm not about to blame a heart problem or a problem with anger on just modern conveniences. But I must conclude that they don't help. Modern conveniences will not help you to walk closer with God, because that is something that is deep within the heart, and the heart must be conditioned correctly. And when that happens, then modern conveniences will not bother you. But I believe that we would be better off just walking a little bit more behind this thing of just accepting them. And, you know, we have maybe sometimes go around just waiting to show someone what my cell phone can do and what all it's got, you know, and what a computer can do and what all it has. But you know what? It won't get you further with God. It really won't get you further with God. And I certainly want to open my life if you see there's something that I need to change. Maybe that could help me with this anger issue. And I don't have a constant problem with it, but it's just that there are times, you know, that this anger wants to well up within me. And, you know, I have to just simply bring that to God and just ask Him, God, I need your help with this anger problem. Please, I need your help. Please help me understand what is going on in my heart that I have this problem. Is that complicated? Do you have an issue in your life that you just simply need? And God is not looking for beautiful prayers. He's not looking for eloquent speeches. He wants you to talk to him just like if he were there face to face and you just talk to him plain. Plain and simple. I like how James puts it. He says this in verse 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Dean and April were on my mind a lot since I heard that there was an accident. I know the feeling. And you know, you can beat yourself all up about that. You know, and say, if I would just have been paying attention, if I would have done this and that and the other, and you know, it can be a big complicated row. But what happened, happened. And it has happened to me. And if you get out on the road and drive, it will likely happen to you. But when it does happen, and it's over. You know, I think there's times that God sometimes allows us to get our attention off of where it really should be. And then he uses that to speak to us. I love that child and I want to talk to you. And so something like that happens because he wants to talk to us. Not that we're worse than any. We all need it. We all need it. We all need help. We need God to talk to us in whatever way that he wants to do it. In whatever way he needs to do it to get our attention. We are so much better off if we just accept. But you know, life, for the young generation, is different in some ways. Make your decision slowly. Ask advice. Never try to hide something. If you have a person that is trying to hide something, it's not walking in the light. And you know, we often have been thinking about this thing of, you know, how some are saying that we don't need church standards. We need to live by the Bible. We just need to live by the Bible. The argument sounds pretty good. But does it really hold out? Just for instance, long ago, in our fellowship of churches, they came up with this thing of cape dresses. Do we have an appreciation for cape dresses? Do you know why it's designed that way? Do you know what it's supposed to be? But you know, we hear sometimes that we don't need standards. We just need to live the Bible. And then cape dresses are put away. And now it's more form-fitting. The upper part of the body is kind of pronounced. And I'm living more like the Bible. Did away with standards. Really? But doesn't it sound more simple to just do away with all these complicated church standards and just live by the Bible? Do what the Bible says. The problem is when you do that or try to do that, you find out that things become more complicated. Folks, in this day and age, more than ever, we need to be able as a church to sit together as a body of believers and be Spirit-led and come up with some guidelines. How many of us are just looking at the guidelines all the time? When you drive down the road, You don't drive down the road and you're looking on the yellow line and you're looking on the white line and you're just always aware of this line, you know. And here you're driving down the road and you're... No, you don't have to live like that. Now, you don't have to just enjoy the scenery. But you know you need to be aware of where the line is. But you can enjoy your trip. You can look out ahead and you have this sense of where the line is. And you can enjoy the trip. And maybe you're so smart and so whatever that you really don't need the lines. But what about the other man coming along? Are you glad he's got lines? I would think it'd be a pretty dangerous situation if all the lines were taken away. You might make out pretty good for a while, but eventually there is going to be some wrecks. Eventually. But it sounds good. Just do away with all these standards. Just live by the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe the effort might be to, but the Bible still says that where two or three gathered together in my name and they decide something, I'm going to honor that. I believe it is more evidence of the Holy Spirit's working when a church sits together and they're able to agree on something and say, this is what we want to protect our little ones, our precious little ones, from all these whatever. And I believe that we are damaging ourselves if we look at people who are more conservative than we are and they have made some lines. I think we'd better respect that. And we better honor that because they have a God in heaven who is honoring it. As long as it is based on the Word of God and their desire to keep themselves free and unspotted from the world, as the last part of this chapter says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The simple part of this is have a heart. Have a heart on those who are disabled. Have a heart for those who are in a life situation that is, that hurts. You know, there's suppose I would have some accident and my leg would have to be taken off. And I would be a cripple. Have a heart. Have a heart for the people who have special needs. And I commend some of the youth in this church who there's times they have held the door open for us back there. Parents, teach your children that. To be kind and to see after the needs. Animals have a heart. They could be in a pen. We are given jurisdiction for animals. It should hurt us when they're going hungry or when they need water. Take care of them. The greatest problem in churches today reaches all the way back to the very first thing that happened in the Garden of Eden when Satan came in there and cast doubt on what God says. And God said, thou shalt not. But the devil came in and he put it, twisted it just a little bit and put it in a different light to where it was not anymore so absolute. No longer so absolute. Last Sunday, the title for the message that Brother Irvin preached was, I Am Resolved. I am resolved. And the song goes, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. These are the ones that my sight is longing for. Talk about things becoming simple and godlike is when those things that are higher and nobler are the things that are getting my attention, and that's what I'm going after. Not all the other things we see here and so on. So God is wanting us. He in his great love, wherewith he loved us, sent his son to die on the cross so that we might be saved to where we can be lifted up out of the miry clay and have our feet set on a rock. I would like to sing that song, Love Lifted Me. I think we can sing it by heart. I don't think it's in our song books. The first line is, I was sinking deep in sin. The second line, all my heart to him I give. And then verse 3 is, souls in danger, look above. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. has lifted us. And it's that love that does that. And you know, a brotherly love, as we relate to each other, also does that. There's another song that we have a request for. There's a city of light. And in that song, it talks about not fainting by the way. It talks about being faithful. And that when we are faithful, we will come to the city of light, where our great God is going to take us in, where we can live with him forever. Song number 592. I'm sure you also know this one by heart. There's a city of light. There's a city of light. We certainly hope to see you there. Let's kneel to pray.